Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast, where we teach you how to make money with content. Today, we are going to talk about a program that's relatively new. Actually, it's probably been around for a while, but people are taking advantage of it a lot more today, and that's the Amazon Influencer Program.
I am really excited about this program. As you know, I gave an office hours about this about, I think it was 6 months ago or so, when I got familiar with the program. And since then, I have really dug in, and our friend Liz has actually developed a tool to help people. We'll talk about that later. But I actually got approved to have on-site placement as of yesterday. So I think we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you should probably explain what on-site placement is. And the influencer program, actually. Let's start from the basics.
There's a lot to unpack here. First of all, I think the biggest differentiator is when you say Amazon influencer, people immediately think Amazon affiliate program, right? Most of us are, if we're in the content space, we have had an Amazon affiliate account for 100 years, right? Where you put links on your website or your social properties and earn commissions from Amazon, which has been, you know, depending on the time of the year, a good source of revenue, an okay source of revenue. I don't know how much you use it. It's, for me, it's like feast or famine, right? I make a ton of money certain times a year, and then in July, I make 72 cents.
I think I do about $100 a month.
Yeah. But we have friends in other spaces who are making tens of thousands of dollars a month on Amazon affiliates. So the Amazon Influencer Program, I don't know when it's... Actually, I know that they started an influencer program in 2017 because I got an invite. And so I accepted it and then did absolutely nothing with it because there wasn't a lot of information about it. And then when I heard about the Amazon Influencer Program last summer, I was like, oh, I'm already an Amazon influencer. Well, if this is you, so if say you've been creating content for a while and 5 or 6 years ago you clicked over and agreed, you're not an Amazon influencer. That was a program that they sunset a while back. And so you actually have to create a whole new account on Amazon if you happen to join that influencer program years ago. If you never did that, you're fine. You can join it from your affiliate account or whatever Amazon account you have. I'm not sure how it would work if you were an e-commerce seller. I think you'd probably want a different account to be an Amazon influencer. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
No, I would probably open a separate account, right? Yeah. You always want to keep the account separate.
Keep it clean. So anyway, I had another Amazon account, and so I used that one to apply to be an influencer. Now, in the process of applying to be an influencer, you do have to have some sort of following, but it doesn't have to be a blog. That's the nice thing. You could be a YouTube content creator. You could be a podcaster. You can have a large Instagram account. We know a lot of people who have built up very large social accounts but don't even have a web property. And so you can use that to apply for the Amazon Influencer Program and be accepted.
Do you have any idea what the requirements are?
I want to say you have to have over like 2,000 followers on like Instagram. Yeah, but I'm not sure. You know, it's obviously Amazon and they don't usually give away some of that information. They like to keep some of that stuff close. So I think, but you definitely have to have a following. You can't go in with no blog, no Instagram. You have to have a place where people can find you. I applied off of my Facebook page because that was my biggest property. I have about 90,000 followers on that page. And so that's the page I use to apply. My Instagram is definitely more personal. I think I only have like 1,700 or 1,800 followers. I probably wouldn't have used that to apply. I would use the biggest property. If you have a lot of TikTok followers, whatever it is, I'd go from there.
Can't you apply with more than one platform? Or
Probably. But I put the Facebook one as like my primary just because I wanted to shine. So they would pick me.
Right. Yeah. From what I heard, the bar is pretty low, actually.
Yeah.
Probably only need a couple thousand on any platform.
Yeah. I don't want to discourage anybody if you're just getting started and maybe you only have a few thousand followers. And the interesting thing is, especially like on TikTok or Instagram, it's not hard to get to 1,000 to 2,000 followers. You just make some reels, some TikTok videos, and you're probably going to get there pretty quickly.
Yeah, totally. And then In the old days, when I first started researching the influencer program, really the main benefit I think that YouTubers were using it for was to put all their gear on a page because you get a special page.
Yeah, so you have a storefront.
Instead of people asking you all day on YouTube, hey, what gear do you shoot with? You just shove it on this page and anytime someone clicks on it, you get a commission. But what you're talking about is something way more interesting.
Yes. So you can still do that. And you still have an Amazon storefront page. And actually, as of last night, Amazon just changed it. So it used to be if you had a storefront, it would show your 50 latest videos or photos. Now, obviously, that sounds like a lot. But if you're doing this basically as a side hustle, you're going to have more than 50 videos. Well, last night they changed it. So now every single one of your videos lives on your storefront. So you could have 1,000 videos on your storefront and it's all viewable on without clicking. It's just scrolling.
Is it all organized though?
So I think you can pin like content to the top, right? Like you can do in, you know, other platforms. So you can put the priorities to the top of the page. But it's kind of funny because Liz Saunders, who works really closely with that program, she has a video or a photo that she did of her in a bathing suit. And she kept waiting for it to like get below the 50. And then she finally got it really close. And then last night, everything pulls up. So she's like, I was hoping this would disappear. So anyway, but yeah, so basically your storefront, and I think having a storefront in general as the influencer is a really great way to drive traffic from your properties to Amazon. If you do like have gear or doing a remodel project, maybe you're a gardener, right? I follow this yoga girl, right? So I was like, oh, I really like the mat she was using because it seemed wider. I was watching one of her videos this morning. And I was like, oh, if she had a storefront, I would totally go to that storefront and see like, oh, what leggings is she wearing? What, you know, mat is she using? Whatever, things like that. So the storefront, I think, is still valuable, but there's more to it now, right? There's more that you can do to earn money.
Yeah, so let's talk about the interesting part because the storefront honestly didn't really appeal to me that much.
Okay.
Because I put all my stuff in the description and in the comments of my YouTube videos, for example.
Right.
Right. Why would I want to make them go to a storefront page where they would have to find what I was just talking about as opposed to just clicking from it directly from a description?
Sure. I would agree with that. So the now what you can do with Amazon influencers is you can actually create content, primarily video, that lives on Amazon listings. So if you're familiar, I shop on Amazon every day, but if you're not as familiar with Amazon, if you go to a listing, there's the main product image that you see when you click on a listing. And then next to that product image on the left, there's usually 5 or 6 thumbnail images. And the bottom one tends to be a little video, right? So if you are brand registered, you can have a video on your listing. So
right.
Yeah, so that's kind of the key. So as a brand, I think you have to be brand registered to get that video slot. Well, as you and I both know, a lot of these people that sell on Amazon are not making videos for their products, right? Because they're a single seller, they're selling out of their mom's basement, whatever it is. So as an influencer, your videos can actually live directly on those listings. And if someone goes to the listing, watches that video, and then purchases that product, you earn a commission.
And this is huge because I just say, as an example, the other day I was shopping for a teleprompter, but I wanted a travel teleprompter. And based on the description, I couldn't really tell how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this video of one guy who did a really good review. He put it side by side against other teleprompters, and he actually hooked the whole thing up with his camera set up so I could see what it was. And I'm sure he got my commission when I bought that teleprompter.
Yes. So actually, I'm going to do a review of a teleprompter probably tomorrow.
Oh, you are? You're a teleprompter.
Once the tree people leave my yard, if you hear some buzzing in the background today, that's, we had a tree fall. So unfortunately, this is the only time they could get it out of here. But yeah, so it's really cool because your videos can now live on these listings on Amazon and you don't have to do anything. Obviously, you can still drive traffic to your videos and you would earn money if people watched them and made the purchase. But the nice thing is, let's just talk about this mobile teleprompter, right, that you bought.
Sure.
Well, this seller is running PPC to this teleprompter. Maybe that's how you found it. Maybe it was a sponsored listing. You clicked on it. Now, you watched this guy's video. So he's making money, even though the teleprompter owner is like paying for that traffic, right? So it's cool because not only do you not have to do any work, other people are paying people. I mean, sometimes Amazon runs ads, right? Like I get all these Amazon redirect ads, you know, when I'm on other browsing for like abandoned cart stuff. So it can go, could come from all these different sources. So it's nice because if you don't have this gigantic social following where you can always drive people to Amazon to buy, Amazon itself will drive people to these products to buy.
I mean, I think that's the best part of this.
Yes.
This is like the best type of affiliate program ever because you don't have to drive your own traffic.
Correct. So the other cool thing is you don't have to stay in a niche, right? So let's just talk about my wife quit her job. You're not going to be reviewing crock pots, right? You're not going to be.
Hey, I mean, never say never.
On
By
my...
the way, did you know that the Instant Pot company went out of business? It's going bankrupt.
What?
Yes,
no.
The company. Yeah. Anyway, side note. I was surprised too because they sold so well, but they apparently overspent on inventory that couldn't sell.
I love my Instant Pot. I have two Instant Pots.
Yeah. Sorry, that was just an aside. Go on. You were talking
I'm
about
devastated.
Crock-Pots.
Are they going to get rid of the app? That's where I get all my.
Well,
recipes.
No, I'm sure the product will exist. I'm just the parent company. I think is going bankrupt.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's just use my wife quit her job. You're not going to write a post on my wife quit her job or on your YouTube channel about crock pots or about a treadmill or about a pop-up tent for the backyard for soccer games, whatever.
Right.
But on Amazon, on your storefront page, as an influencer, you can do all those reviews because it doesn't matter. It's not brand-centric. You don't get extra points or SEO juice or anything like that from staying in a certain category. You can review everything from the click and carry from our friend Kim, right, to a treadmill, to a paint sprayer. It doesn't matter because it's all listing specific. So it's living on that listing. It's also living on your storefront. But like we said, we're probably not driving people to the storefront very often. And unless we're super niche down on like a YouTube channel, we're going to take advantage of the fact that Amazon's going to distribute this far and wide.
Is there a way to not put the video on your storefront channel? Storefront page?
I think it has to stay on the storefront. I don't think you can do anything about that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what I found recently, just shopping.
What are you thinking about putting on your, you don't want on your store?
Well, no. What thing I want to review, but I don't want like all my video, you know, because it can be embarrassing.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, what is it? What do you want to review?
Well, not your products. I want to review all the romance novels that my wife.
You're like book number 852 in the series.
The Asian Bachelor.
No. People do review books, actually. Liz has a review for your book.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, I think she left a review before it came out.
Okay.
And I'm hoping she'll leave another one for that 2 cent affiliate revenue that she could get.
For the fourth. You didn't make the cut as far as the affiliate opportunity.
Okay, so we understand the importance. Mm-hmm. And okay, let me ask you this. There's only a limited number of slots, right?
Yes, I think 5 or 6.
And I guess the holy grail is to get on the listing, right?
Yes, the holy grail is to be in that left side rail, you know, which comes up to the videos. And I think if you are brand registered, you have 5 or 6 video slots in that space.
Okay, so if you don't get on that, it's probably not worth it, right? So what's the strategy here?
Okay, well, so it's not worth it. Obviously, that's the goal, but your video will live underneath, you know, when you scroll down in there. So those videos still get watched. Obviously, the percentage is, I think, 8 times higher as far as like percentage of watch to purchase if you're up in the top area, but it's not worth it. But what you want to do is find products that are, so it's kind of not a game, but it's a strategy, right? Where you have to find products that are brand registered, so they have the video slot, that they don't have a lot of influencer content in there yet, right? So maybe there's no videos or one video, so the chance of your video getting in there is really high. And then also you want to find products that have a lot of inventory or not like running out of inventory, because you don't want to make a video and then they have 3 items left and they're never going to restock it on Amazon. So then that's like a waste of your time. And then obviously products that earn you commission, like better commission rates than, you know, because Amazon has tiered commissions. It's not all the same. So certain products will make you more money.
Or do you just go for like higher ticket items maybe?
So that's yes and no. Just depends, right? Because yes, a higher ticket item will probably make you more commission, but it depends on the percent, like what category it's in. Like, because Amazon just changed their category percentages again, which they always are doing to hurt influencers and affiliates. So, it'd almost be better to find like a product that was half as much but had triple the affiliate opportunity versus, you know what
that
I mean?
Sense.
So it's kind of a, you got to do the math on like what products are the best opportunity for you.
Can we just talk about the video real quick? Like, how long does it have to be? How comprehensive does it have to be? And does quality matter?
So this is the process. So you apply to be an influencer, they accept you. So that's step one. Then you have to make 3 videos and submit them for approval. So you have to get 3 videos approved. So I applied, what was it, last year, got approved, made 2 videos. One video got approved within, and usually your videos get approved within 48 hours. So you know pretty quickly. So I had one video get approved within 48 hours. I had another video that sat in review. And it actually sat in review until like 3 days ago when I deleted it. So there was something that was holding that video up. I don't know what it was. It was an outfit that I had reviewed, but I voiced over, like it was me standing in front of a mirror with like a phone. It was not a great video. It wasn't terrible, but it was like definitely not what I would probably do today. But it just happened to be a video that I had made for Instagram, I think. So that video sat in review. I ended up deleting it. Last week, I was like, okay, I'm making my 3 videos, because you have to have 3 videos approved to then be approved for placement. So step one is make the 3 videos that Amazon approves. Then they put you into the queue to be able to be put on the listings themselves.
Right. So these first 3 videos, do they go anywhere?
They sit on your influencer page until you get like final approval on listings. So I had my video number 1 that was approved last summer. I made 4 videos last week, but Liz told me only submit 2. Because you want to give Amazon the least opportunity to reject you. So you don't want them to find something wrong with what you did. So upload the 2nd video, get that one approved, then upload the 3rd video. So I uploaded the 2nd video. It got approved within like 48 hours. It was me literally reviewing this Stanley cup. It was a minute long. I stood directly in front of the camera. I used my iPhone with our Rode mics, the clip-on mics that we have. And I literally just talked about this tumbler. The big thing, what I've heard for initial approval is don't give a lot of your own opinions. So
is that the whole point?
Yeah.
Nope.
I think once you get approved for on-site placement, you can do that more. But those first 3 videos that you're making just to get approval, it shouldn't be filled with your own opinion, right? It should be more about this is great. I like that this fits in my car cup holder, right? Because it's narrow at the bottom. I brought out the fact that the straw was removable. You could kind of change how you use the cup. I talked about how I liked the handle, how it held 40 ounces of liquid. I kind of stuck with the facts of the product and pointed out the things that I thought were positives. I talked about how it doesn't spill, you know, so. But I did it all in like a minute and 15 seconds. No editing, literally cut off the front, cut off the back.
No editing. Okay.
No editing at all. Nice. on this one. Because I'm just standing there holding the cup, right? Like there's not really a whole lot to talk about with a cup.
So you don't have to overlay text on top of it?
I didn't. So then I made a thumbnail. And my thumbnail was very, very... well done, I must say. No, I literally went into Canva, took 3... I filmed it vertically. I took 3 screen grabs of me holding the cup in like different positions and with like weird faces. And usually, because it's like I kind of followed the YouTube phenomenon of like, if you're like, you know, then that's probably going to get more eye-catching attention than just like, there's me with the cup. And then I just put like a banner across of it that was like, you know, the Stanley 40-ounce quencher review. And
nice.
And that was my thumbnail. So uploaded that one. Got approved. And then the third one that I did was the treadmill desk, which as if you guys are in office hours, I talk about it all the time. But that one I did do some editing because there's 2 features on the desk that I thought were worth calling out. One, that there's presets so you can like pick your, like there's a setting for it to be a treadmill. You know, there's something if you're standing and there's a setting for sitting and you can program them in. So you're not trying to figure that out each time. So I wanted to get a close up of that, as well as there's hooks on the side of it so you could hang stuff off of it. So I wanted to get that in close up. So I basically talked through the whole thing with the mic, phone camera on a tripod, talked about the desk. And then I went back and filmed just a close up of me like pushing the memory. I talked about the memory keys in the first part and I talked about the hangers. And then I filmed basically B-roll of me pushing the buttons and me close up of the hanger thing. And then use Camtasia to edit those over the parts of the video where I'm talking about it. So that video was like a minute and 15 seconds. It took me probably now. Okay. To be fair, I do film a lot of videos, so it's not hard for me to like get up and talk. And, you know, I could talk about anything. So overall, it probably took me 10 minutes to film the video and probably another 10 minutes to edit the video, just because I don't normally do like overlay in Camtasia with different clips. So it took me a minute to kind of figure out how to do that. But overall, probably start to finish 30 minutes.
Huh, okay.
And then similar thumbnail.
You know, I'm willing to bet actually that Amazon wants those types of videos, not the ones with opinions, right? Because those stick in reviews.
Yeah.
They just want a better description, which is what I was looking for the teleprompter. I wasn't looking for someone's opinion. I was just looking for more facts about it.
Yeah, like when I review the teleprompter probably tomorrow, one of the things that I am going to point out about the one that I have is the way that it's built. When you set up your camera and the iPad and everything with it, it feels very unsteady. Like there should be a counterweight on the back side of it because it just feels like it's very front heavy. And so I will mention that in the review because depending on like the weight, what you're filming or the surfaces or things like that probably matters to people. While it's not a negative, you know, the works great, right? It's a great teleprompter. It's easy to use, easy to set up. That is a thing part where I was like, hey, they should have like counterbalanced this a little bit better. I will include that in the review. I think you should be very honest when you review stuff. I wouldn't review something that I hated though.
Horizontal or vertical?
Both.
Both. Yeah. Okay. How do you know when to do horizontal versus vertical?
So you don't. What I think kind of the general consensus are, because they're also looking for like 15-second reviews where you're literally just pointing out the highlights. So there's like these, it's kind of like, think about TikTok where like these short reviews and then like 1 minute reviews. And then there's like in-depth 4 minute reviews. Now I couldn't review the Stanley Tumblr for 4 minutes. Like I couldn't talk about it that long.
Well, you could have,
you could have. I did find out this weekend it does hold a full bottle of wine.
Right. You could have said, oh, yeah, let's see if this can hold a full bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Surprise. I haven't made it.
Now let's see if we can drink this whole bottle of wine by the time this video is
done
over.
I'm editing the video. but I probably could have done the desk for a longer period of time talking about the quality of like the legs are metal, the top is wood. You know, there was probably more information I could have given. So sort of the general rule is these shorter videos are vertical and the longer videos are horizontal.
Never.
But okay. There's also sort of this school of thought that they're moving more towards like vertical. And to me, it's like everyone's on their phone on Amazon, right? Like to me, the vertical videos make more sense as far as just like viewer, like watching the videos. Like I don't like watching horizontal videos on my phone. It's annoying. So I'm mostly making vertical videos, but I will probably make a couple horizontal.
Interesting. I had the opposite when I was shopping. Like I didn't like the vertical videos when I was shopping for teleprompters.
Were you on your phone?
By flipping it horizontal. Yeah, I was on my phone.
Okay.
All you got to do is just kind of rotate your phone 90 degrees. It works wonders.
Yes, I know. But then if you have the lock on, it flips back and you're like, yeah, I got the lock on and you're like frustrated.
Well, maybe it was because of the nature of what I was buying, but horizontal view, I could see the guy's full studio.
Yes.
Whereas the vertical ones were, you know, there's nothing on the ceiling.
Correct.
Or on the floor. So.
Yeah. So like with the Tumblr video, it made a lot of sense to do vertical, right? Because it's just me and the thing. The desk was probably, I could have gone either way. And then the video that I'm going to probably, I have finished is I have a review of the treadmill underneath the desk. That one is in a similar style of the desk where I talk and then I have B-roll showing some of the features of the treadmill. That could have easily been a 4 minute video.
But was that a horizontal one then?
That was a vertical one, but that the treadmill is vertical. So that made more like the desk is long, right? Whereas the treadmill is narrow. So, I think the vertical works well for the treadmill, but once again, probably 30 minutes. I haven't finished editing that one. It's almost done. I wanted to wait and make sure my other stuff got approved. So once you submit your three videos, then it goes through a review process for on-site placement. What you will see on your Amazon, dashboard is a little lock, like a blue, like you're locked. So until you get approval, the lock will appear. And then once you have approval, you'll log in and you'll get this little congratulations. And it's like a little party thing. And it'll say you've been approved for on-site placement. So at that point, your videos can live on a listing. I haven't checked mine because I just got approved yesterday. So I haven't checked to see if they're on a listing yet. But, you know, so now it's time to like churn out the videos, because I've realized that I can make them fairly quickly. And if I outsource the editing side of it, which still doesn't take me a lot of time, but it's definitely going to be like the, it's going to be the cog, right? I could probably churn, I mean, you could, I could churn out a ton of videos a week. So the next thing I did was go through my house, I'm not joking, and look for all the products I purchased on Amazon in the last like 18 months, which is probably 2,000 items because I bought.
No, I was going to say, do you have deliveries coming in every day?
I do. I love Amazon. So then I, you know, from that, I started researching those products. Obviously, I looked at the high. So I've purchased a couple high ticket items. Here's the thing. You don't have to buy them from Amazon. They just have to be as a listing on Amazon.
You don't have to be a verified purchaser.
No, because my Amazon account that I'm an influencer on is not my Amazon Prime account. They're two different accounts. Because of me being in that program initially, I had to use a new account to sign up, like all this stuff. So, yeah, so I don't have any verified purchases because I've never made a purchase with this account. It's only for the influencer program. So I went through my house and I was like, okay, so my daughter, a couple months ago, she got a new to her car and she wanted to, it had cloth seats. So she wanted to get seat covers for the car. So she ordered these seat covers on Amazon that I was like, oh my gosh, these are not going to be good. Like they're on it. I'm like, this cheap Chinese crap from Amazon. It's not going to be good. These things are amazing. They like, it looks like she got custom covers for her car, right? And of course she got pink because that's her favorite color or whatever. But they look really, really nice. They look like probably $1,000 seat covers. So they were $169 on Amazon. So sure as heck I'm reviewing those, right? Because they, one, I check, they have video opportunity, all that stuff. Like they meet all the requirements. But I'm like, these are actually something that, and we were nervous about buying them because there weren't any like video reviews, right? Like it was like, well, these look like they're nice, but I don't know. They're probably photoshopped in the photo. Who knows, you know? So I think that's one that will do really well. Some tools, gadgets, things like that. So I kind of just went through the house and took inventory of the items that will be like prioritized for making videos.
I'm always wondering, like, what if the item you're reviewing doesn't actually match the listing? Are they policing that at all?
I think it has to match.
No, I know, but like the seat cover, let's say like someone bought it from a different company and then reviewed it and it looks identical, but it's actually not the same company.
It probably
there's no enforcement of that right now. But there's no enforcement of that right now, right?
Well, every time
you how would they know?
Because every time you make a video, you have to submit it. It's not automatic.
No, you have to submit the video. But if the product looks identical, for example, our buddy Kevin Williams, Brush Hero, there are a bunch of knockoffs. And let's say someone reviewed the knockoff and said it wasn't that great. Amazon's not actually checking it's a verified purchase.
No, they're not checking for verified purchases.
Maybe that'll happen eventually.
Yeah. I think like one of the things I do try to show in the picture is the name of the brand. Like this, I had made sure the Stanley logo was pretty obvious on the treadmill. Like I showed the logo of the name of the treadmill. So I do think that probably matters because every video does go in for review. So at any point your video could be rejected. So I wouldn't try to do that as far as like a strategy. I would make sure it's a product that it doesn't have to, like, for example, I got a Pebble ice maker. Did you know this?
Yes, you did. Yeah, okay. You told me. You told everybody. You told Instagram. You told the world.
Best day of my life. Yeah. Anyway, but we bought it at Best Buy, right? But they sell the exact same model number on Amazon. So I'll review the Pebble ice maker because it is a product that you can buy the exact same thing on Amazon.
Right.
And so I don't think there'll be a problem with that getting approved. Plus nothing that I have, I bought through that account. So they can't verify anything.
So let's talk about the interesting part. Let's talk about the money. What are some of the commissions on some of these things that you reviewed? And what are like the monthly sales volumes? Like how did you decide to do those? Or are you just reviewing anything that you own basically?
So I cheated a little bit. First of all, I went through things that I owned. But there are people out there, I found out today, that are literally purchasing products just for the review opportunity. So like if the commission's really high, so like Liz and I were walking through. So Liz, our friend Liz Saunders, has developed a Chrome extension called Fluencer Fruit. I think it's still in beta right now, but basically helps you find these products. So it lets you cheat a little bit, right? Now you combine that with Jungle Scout where you get sales volume, you're like crushing it, right? Because then you can like really game the system. But so she was like basically showing me how she's looking for bookcases, right? not because she needs a bookcase, but because she's just trying to find the best opportunity. So like, as far as the highest commission, the best opportunity as far as no influencer videos, sales, stock, all that stuff. And she's literally, she showed me this bookcase she's going to buy and review solely for commission. There's no, like, she doesn't, you know, there's no reason for that. So there's people doing that all the time right now where they're just buying products to, because it's a good opportunity.
What's the commission on that bookcase? Just curious.
I think it was $12 a sale.
$12. Wow, that's a lot. Yeah. Well, what is the percentage? Do you know?
I think that was 4% or something like that.
4%. Okay.
Yeah. But she gave me another example today that I thought was really interesting. She reviewed a desk treadmill last year and, you know, just put the video set up there. She was making, you know, I don't know how much a month, nothing like to write home about, because it's more about like the aggregate, you know.
Yeah.
You want to have 20, 50 videos up there. Well, the head of Nike social media happened to own that treadmill just randomly and posted about it on social media, like in her office, right? So she put a post on social media or Twitter or something like that. Well, sales spiked for this treadmill, right? Because, you know, she has a lot of followers, whatever. So in one day, Liz made $300 from this other person mentioning the treadmill because Liz's video was on the listing, right? So, you know, there's all that sort of stuff that can happen as far as, you know, it doesn't have to be you mentioning the product. It could be anybody mentioning the product. She had a video last year that was making her about $1,000 a month just on the one video because the product was such a hot seller. So you want to really find those high velocity sellers, because obviously the more volume of traffic to that page, the more likely people are to watch your video, the more likely they watch your video, the more likely they are to buy. And all the studies showed that people buy off of the user generated videos versus the brand. If the brand puts a video on there, that never compels people to buy. It's always the user generated video that compels people to buy.
Are there any restrictions on posting the same video on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube Shorts?
I don't think so. I think you can use that. I think you can use that video anywhere.
So if that's the case, then why not just have a account for like Tony's Reviews where you just post all these things?
Yeah, that's what I was
everywhere.
Already, yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, you're already making the videos.
Because I would rather do these videos because you know that are probably going to lead to money over like TikToks and Instagram. So if I had to choose,
yeah,
yeah, I would. Yeah. This sounds like a no-brainer.
Yeah. So what I like about it is that, if you're going to go all in on this and you're going to be like, I'm buying 25 products a day, you know, like on Amazon, and like, I think you can clearly make a full-time income on this. But I think outside of that, you can make a really nice side hustle income doing this on the side. Like, if you work a full-time job, this can be your Saturday afternoon thing. If you, you know, have little kids, like, this is the other thing. Spencer, our friend Spencer Haas, just started doing this after he talked to Liz. He was like, I'm in, I'm making videos, because it's Spencer, you know, he's gonna like make a
he always tries stuff. I love it.
Video, how I made 4,000 Amazon influencer videos in 1 year. This is what but he's like, I don't want to make videos. So he's paying people on Fiverr and Upwork $30 to make video reviews, and he's posting them on his channel. So you don't even have to be in the video. Which I think is, because that was one of the questions I asked her, because I have older kids, I'm like, this would be a great thing for like my kids to help me review stuff, like things that they have purchased or that they use all the time. So I'm not the one making every single video. So she said, yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyone can be in your videos. It's not like it has to be you, or the video doesn't get approved. So in theory, you could pay someone else to make videos for you if you knew they were going to hit.
I wonder if you can do like an AI voiceover screencast type of video.
I don't know. I mean, the product has to be in the video.
No, the product will be in the video.
But
like, you're just taking images and you're just typing out what gets voiced over.
I mean, I feel like that probably loses some of the appeal of.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how the approval. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because right now it's the Wild Wild West, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, it might get approved. I don't know how well it would convert for you, I guess, would be what I would say. Like, I do think seeing someone's face in the video, like, builds that trust and honesty factor. Like, I'm looking the camera in the eye and I'm telling you that this is my new favorite Tumblr, right? Like, I do think that matters a little bit for people. But Yeah, I mean, who knows? I do think, but I do think you can have other people make your videos, which I know there's a lot of people like, oh, I'm not comfortable. But like, now I don't, I would say I do not know what the under 18 rule is, right? Because it's probably, you probably can't do minors. But I don't have many minors anymore. So it's not a factor for me.
Well, no, I'm just thinking like, if you post the review and mm-hmm. someone clicks and watches your video, yeah. but then they watch someone else's video,
I would assume it would be last click.
You're not
going to
get credit.
Yeah.
It's last click. Yeah. Okay.
But most of the time, I think people watch that. The first video, if you're like the first one in that placement, is the where you want to be.
Right. And then if you do get that first placement spot, like, is there a chance you'll get kicked off? And if
yes.
you do, how do you get back? Is there any gamification there?
I don't think there's a lot of gamification. I mean, you can go in and change your thumbnail, similar to YouTube. Like, you can change your title. One of the things people are doing right now is... in their name. So when you put your name in the dashboard, right, for like your account. So mine, I think, says Tony Herbach. I don't know. You can cut and paste the emoji green check in front of your name.
Oh.
So people okay. are doing that now where it's like, so it looks verified, but it's literally just the emoji. So Liz has it on hers, and like this other girl, she was showing me another video, and like this girl had it. So that's one of the things people are doing. It doesn't game it for Amazon, but it games it for the watcher.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder, can you have followers?
Yes, people can follow your page.
Oh, they can follow your page.
I think
okay.
so, yeah.
So if that's the case, it's probably in your best interest to use your face on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you get followers, and people will trust you for anything that you review, which will increase your conversion rate, right?
In I would the long think, run. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Maybe this sounds like something that I would want my kids to do.
That's
like,
why I was wondering. Yeah, I was wondering about the age limit. I don't know what the age limit is for this. So it's definitely something to look into.
I see. Yeah, because this makes a great side hustle. I mean, you can just pick up your phone and do it sounds like, which is what you did to get approved, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't need heavy editing.
No, it doesn't. In fact, you could edit it. Liz was telling me she uses a phone app to edit. I just don't love doing anything on my phone that much. But I would say if you were going to invest in any equipment, I would invest in a tripod or some way to like hold your camera steady, whether it's like a bookcase or, you know, you're holding it up with, you know, something. I think steadiness does, like, you know, you don't want the video to be all over the place. So I think having something to hold your phone, some kind of tripod, and then I do think having a microphone matters. But like, we're using these Rodes. They're very nice and they're expensive, but you can buy like $10 lapel mics for your iPhone.
Yeah. And they work pretty well.
Yeah. The audio quality is good enough to where you would not get approved for Amazon. And if you go like, just take a little bit of time and go on Amazon and look at some of these user videos. They range from like highly produced to like literally a mom. Like, I watched one today for another treadmill, and she's literally holding the phone up like that, which to me, I just don't think that's a great experience to watch when someone's phone is like all over the place. But those are still getting approved.
The only reason why I'm asking all these questions is mm-hmm. so right now my daughter's working on this course. And we were talking about doing print on demand because that's what she's doing with their own site. But then we're like, that might be too complicated. So maybe we pivoted towards Etsy. Mm-hmm. But then, like, this is even easier to teach, I think,
mm-hmm.
for the average teenager to just make a side hustle.
Yeah.
So, or maybe this could be a different class altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this sounds like something that we're going to try.
Yeah, the only thing I would check is like, what do you have? How old do you have to be in the program, like to make videos with her? Like, she's definitely an older teen, so it might not be an issue. It might be 13, but
I mean, if you think about it this way, though, like some of those top reviewing YouTubers
are kids,
like yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, they were like five, right?
Yes.
That one kid
yes.
who got famous.
Yes, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
It's not like you're putting out explicit videos or anything like that.
No,
it's just,
I don't know Amazon's terms for this. So like, that's the one thing I would look into before. I'd hate for someone to like make a bunch of videos with their kid and then find out they can't use them.
Right.
That's all.
But I guess if those first three get approved, it's game on, right?
Get all the children in the videos. No, I think this is like, you obviously have to have some level of social following to do this. You have to have a little bit of an audience to get started, but it doesn't have to be big, which so I think that's very reachable for people. And then once you have that, you know, the process of getting approved, I've heard that it takes anywhere from, you know, a week to 4 weeks, you know, from when you get your three videos approved to like on-site placement. And then, you know, once you do that, you just start making these videos, and it's definitely like that passive income, right? Because you batch make the videos, and then the money, like that video, there's videos that are a year old that are still making money, right? Like stuff doesn't change.
Yeah. And as long as you pick a good product that is evergreen and from a good seller who doesn't let it go out of stock, conceivably, you just make this passive income.
Yeah.
Right, month to month.
And one more thing. Here's the other little angle that you can work with this that we don't have time to go into detail, but like there are now sellers who are paying influencers who have like approval, right? So they already have the on-site placement approval. So you can work with a brand who will pay you, also give you their product for you to make a video. Right.
Nice.
So you can like, and then you still get paid right from Amazon if they click and watch and buy. So you get, let's just say $200, you get a free, you know, automatic dog feeder, whatever, you know, right. And then you earn commission. So potentially you could be earning, you know, several hundred dollars from this review. So once you get, and I think this is something that once you have like lots of videos up, like let's just say 25 videos, like you have placement, you can show brands like, hey, these, you know, I'm doing well, then you can work with brands directly. So you're one, not paying for that product anymore. So you're getting the product for free, which is really nice. And then you're also getting a direct paycheck from the brand because brands want to do this to launch, right? Or to get more velocity to their, get more sales velocity, whatever it is. So there's a whole other side of this where you can earn extra money. Now, obviously that's more work. That's less passive. You're like having to deal with like negotiations, probably a contract, things like that. But it's also another revenue stream for you.
But it's the same. You would have made that video anyway, right?
Right. You just make extra, right? You're getting a cash payment.
You're just getting paid to make the affiliate video.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. That sounds like a no-brainer. If only there was a matchmaking service.
Oh, there might be. Stay tuned.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.